Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Today is a rare day. It's very rare that you come on the radio 22 hours after a game is over and still have a very difficult time putting together what the hell we just saw. And here we are, 22 hours after a top five, top 10 epic meltdown by the New York Football Giants, and it is still very difficult to understand what the hell happened. Tiki Barber, what the hell happened?
I mean, a lot happened, Evan.
Most of it for three quarters was very good. But in the most critical moment of this game, and we all remember it, it was 3rd and 5, and the Giants had just run the ball twice. And they needed to not turn the ball over. And they did exactly that. So much happened after that, by the way. I mean, it's crazy. It was like a different game story after that turnover. And all the things that followed were dramatic and awesome. And your emotions went high, then they went low. But it all comes back to that one moment. And I think this Giants team can compete with anybody in the NFL. You give me the best team. I don't care who it is. Whether that was the Chargers at the time, the Eagles at the time, you throw them up against whoever. Who is the best team in the NFC right now? I don't even know.
The Lions?
Lions? Throw them against the Lions. I think they'd play a competitive game against the Detroit Lions. You throw them against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they would play a competitive game against the Kansas City Chiefs with this Jackson Dart era. But there's something about this team that is frustrating. Because they are so good, yet they don't know how to win. And part of that is players, right? We'll talk about, you know, the Shane Bowen decision on first down when the Denver Broncos are desperate. We'll talk about, you know, what do you do on the goal line after the pass interference play. But there are moments in games where the decision makes a difference and then the execution makes a difference. And on 3rd and 5, I felt that the only thing the Giants needed to do was run the ball again and force the Denver Broncos to use their 3rd and last timeout, because they had to score twice. Not once. They had to score 2 more times in order to best the New York Giants. And if you punt, they have no timeouts. They got to drive the length of the field, something they haven't done consistency for the entire game. Your defense now has the advantage, and the Denver Broncos have pressure. As soon as you decide to throw the ball, and I don't know whose decision that was. I don't know if it was Dabes or Kafka's or if it was Jackson Dart saying, let me throw it. I got it. And I'm a rookie, but you guys believe in me. I'll make the play. And sure, I know Sean and I were getting into a fight last night because he's saying Jackson Dart has earned the trust to throw that play. No, he hasn't.
Rookies are dumb.
Thank you, Tiki.
That's when we know this game has turned us all crazy.
Yes. All you needed to do on that drive was not turn the ball over. So instead of having to drive the length of the field and try to score to make it now a one-score game, they had to drive 40 yards to score and put the pressure, which was, I just told you, was on the Denver Broncos. It is now on a rookie quarterback to have to put a drive together. And guess what happened on that drive? They went 3 and out. And the next thing you know, the Denver Broncos have control. They go and score and take the lead for the first time. So this was a failure on so many levels. A failure from a coaching perspective and a player perspective, an execution perspective. And when you give up 33 points in the fourth quarter, I don't care how good you are. You don't deserve to win, period.
There are games, and I think I thought this at 19-0, and I certainly thought it at 26-8, and I thought it while watching Patriots-Falcons the Super Bowl when it was 28-3, where in order for this game to turn, it's not one thing. It's a list of things.
Of course it was. But it started.
100%.
It started with the interception.
I agree with you. That
play clean. That's all you got to do. Play clean.
The number one thing that switched the faucet in this game was not being smart and running on 3rd and 5.
Yes.
For a minute, you laid it out, and I couldn't agree with you more. Force Sean Payton to use his third timeout. Also, ensure you're not turning the ball over. And make the Denver Broncos have to go 40 or 50 yards further down the field than what happened on the interception. So I agree. If I'm power ranking all the different crap things that happened.
Yeah, and we'll get to all of them.
But that's the key. You need all of those things to happen to lose a game like
this. And the first thing you needed to go wrong was to turn the ball over on 3rd and 5. And look, I love this rookie class. I love the last two classes for the New York Giants. They're fantastic. I give Joe Shane a ton of credit because who doesn't love Jackson Dart and his swag and his chain gold necklace and his ability to just be a baller? Who doesn't love Cam Scataboo, who is brilliant as hell as a runner and just vicious and aggressive and a playmaker? But when you make that decision on that third down, and you know what's going to happen with a Vance Joseph defense. If you didn't, and I know that fans haven't watched Vance Joseph, the all 22s or defenses, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but when you get in that critical moment, Vance Joseph is going to get medieval on your ass.
Yeah.
He's going to throw some stuff at you that you're just like, all right, what am I looking at? All right, there's 7 guys up here. What do I do? And the play call was okay. You're going to get cover 0, you're going to get man everywhere. The play call was actually okay. The Giants had 7 to block 7. But you remember what I said before about rookies rookieing?
Yes, rookies rookie.
Yeah. So guess what happened? The double mug in the middle of the field, Cam Scataboo got trucked.
Yes, he did.
Trucked.
Got thrown to the ground.
And by the way, that happens. That happened to me all the time because I was a little running back. And if I got trucked, you're coming with me. I'm holding you. I'm like tackling you because you're not getting to my quarterback. So Cam Scataboo gets trucked. Jackson Dart tries to escape forward like he's supposed to. He gets tripped up by Cam Scataboo.
But at that point, he's got to go down. He should have
just went down.
Take the sack.
But you know why he didn't?
Why?
Because he's a rookie.
I hate rookie.
He didn't realize that, you know what? A sack is just as good as an incompletion here or anything. Actually, it's probably the best thing
it is
that
because
could have happened.
You're doing two really important things in terms of winning this game. Number one, you're letting the New Orleans. I'm thinking of Sean Payton.
Yeah,
you're letting the Denver Broncos use their third timeout.
You're forcing them to use their third timeout.
Absolutely. And Payton already showed you he was going to use his 3 timeouts because he already used the first 2 on 1st and 2nd down.
100%.
So clearly he's going to use it. So number one, his timeouts are now gone, which he's going to need because remember, since you have a multi-possession lead, you're getting the ball back again.
Right.
He ain't going to be able to stop the clock. And then number two, you ensure that the disaster doesn't happen.
Right. If you want to throw it again, because Bob Papa said this on the broadcast, and as soon as he said it, I said, he's wrong. He said, that 3rd and 5 that we've been referring to, where Jackson Dart threw the interception, he said, this is the most important 3rd down of the game. And it wasn't. That is not the most important 3rd down, because that possession, now this is hard to like think about as I'm saying this, because it meant so much in this game. That possession did not matter to the New York Giants. It was an extra.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Toss off possession. The only thing you're using that possession for is to use three of Denver Broncos.
That's the key.
That's the only thing you needed to do.
Yes.
It wasn't. You didn't need to get the first down. The only thing you needed to do was make the Denver Broncos use their third timeout, which you didn't do. So the interception happens. The Denver Broncos go down as predictable. They go and score. They get another 2-point conversion. And then the Giants get the ball back. So all that pressure that was on the Denver Broncos is now on the Giants. So when it was third down the next time, right?
Yeah.
The Giants are only up by however many points. They were up by four. Yeah, they're up by 4 points at that point.
At this point, it is 26-23.
Three. So they're up by 3 points.
Yep.
That third down was the most important third down of the game. Because if you get that third down, you extend your drive and you make it almost so much harder for the Denver Broncos to go do what they ultimately did, which is get a punt, go down the field, score the go-ahead touchdown. So, like, the Giants put themselves in position to have stress down the stretch. And that's on them. That's on the coaching staff, it's on the players, and it's on everybody that bowed out at the wrong time or stopped playing elite football at the wrong time, because they did everything right up until those moments.
Now, watching that third down play, which obviously turned into a catastrophe, I could tell you in the moment, I thought exactly like you, which is run the ball. Make them use their third timeout, ensure that there is no disaster, punt the ball back to Denver, and you still mathematically feel pretty freaking good about winning this game. Mr. Talking Giants back there, Sean Morash, was fighting with you about, Jackson Dart's got to do it. He's earned the right. He's this and that.
He was arguing about a lot of things, all of which didn't matter. Yes, the kicker mattered.
Well, we'll get to all of those things.
Like,
I promise you.
All of those things matter.
Because to lose a game like this, trust me, there's 100 different things that end up happening, and they're worthy of talking, but I agree that this is the number one thing. It has now been 22 hours.
Yeah.
And the beauty is, and I love the format we're in, we come on Sports Talk Radio a day later, more time to think about it. When Tiki's doing the post-game show, he is raw and emotional. When you're doing Talking Giants or One Giant Step, you're raw and you're emotional.
Yeah.
So now that you've had 22 hours to think about it and learn at the knee of a future Hall of Famer in Tiki Barber, do you now agree that this was a major, major screw-up throwing on third down?
I don't agree with that.
But come on.
No. Hold on. I agree that in hindsight, you know what, running the ball was well. I don't think it's a major screw-up because a completion there effectively ends the game. That's where I lose the shape major. My issue was,
there's still 4 minutes to go, dude.
So it's nearly five, which is still an eternity. And where the only thing I disagree on is I don't think that if you punt the ball there, suddenly that means you're going to absolutely have to have an onside kick. I do think Denver would have been able to get the ball down quicker. It felt like quicksand at that point for the defense. What the reason is, the two D-backs
but they haven't
lost,
done it. I know what you're saying. You're going because of Debo's injury and Javon Holland.
The format of what the defense had played had completely changed when those two guys came out of the game. And frankly, and this is on Brian Daboll because he hired the guy, we've learned, I wasn't trusting Shane Bowen in that spot without those guys to get it done. Deontay Banks and Drew Phillips are walking penalties with balls over their head, and I just viewed that game and viewed the way that team was playing or the way the Giants are playing offensively and said, and I'm ahead of myself, I get it, it came back to bite me in the ass. I trust giving Jackson Dart a look there.
But he's a rookie.
And he is a rookie. But worst case, which wasn't the worst case, I thought he throws it incomplete. All right, they live with one timeout, you punt anyway. He did the one thing that couldn't happen.
Right.
He threw a pick, and he came back to bite him.
Right.
So I do
want... So my point is, as a good coach, and in order to be a good coach, you have to have winning pedigree, a winning culture. It's not there. And there are many reasons why. I know we won Coach of the Year in 2022, but for the last 2 years, they are not a winning organization. And so the reason you don't throw the ball there is because you haven't earned the right to do that. You haven't earned the right to be aggressive. Now, if you've done it multiple times and it's worked and you win games and you get to the postseason, you're doing X, Y, Z, Dan Campbell going for one on fourth down for no damn reason, right? You trust Dan Campbell to do it. Why? Because it works for Dan Campbell. I didn't trust the moment. And so you have to default to what you're supposed to do. And what you're supposed to do is run the clock so that they are forced to use all three of their timeouts. Because I can't express to you how game-changing emotionally it is to happen, what happened to the Denver to the New York Giants, how lifting it is for the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos were dead in the water. They were dead. At home, dead. The fans were gone. They were leaving the arena, right?
And they were.
We, the Giants, gave them life.
Yeah.
See, we gave them life. They were dead and buried. And all of a sudden, we Frankenstein their asses. And that drives me insane. And it didn't need to happen. Because you put the ball, and I know you say he's earned the right to have the trust to make that throw. He's a rookie.
Rookies are dumb.
You gave them back the life. And that kills me. Because the Giants are good enough to win these games. They're good enough to beat almost any team, but they can't screw it up. And they're at the point now where I don't trust them not screwing it up.
How can you not? The track record's already there. They've screwed up a lot more than they've stolen wins.
Yes.
We've seen too much of this.
Right.
And
in 2022, they stole a bunch of wins.
But you know what? 2022 was an eternity ago.
I agree. And it's a completely different team.
It's a completely different team. And honestly, it's a long-ass time ago.
I was actually going to bring up 2022.
Don't bring it up anymore.
No,
seriously.
This.
Here's why you can't bring it up anymore. You know how many seasons we've now had?
I know. But hear me out. I promise. Hear me out. And by the way, I don't disagree with anything he's actually saying. I'm just looking at from the point of view of where I was at in real time, okay? In 2022, Brian Daboll left his mark with that team on opening day by going for two in the Titan game.
I agree with
that. And I know an eternity has passed. Man, this kid has been playing great, played well above all of our expectations yesterday. If he freaking completes the pass and doesn't throw a pick, what are we talking about today?
No, because
Brian Daboll did it again and figured it out.
Sean,
he took a gamble and it backfired.
Believe it or not, I disagree with Tiki only because I'd be even more extreme. And what I mean by that is I get it about Jackson Dart. I get it about being a rookie. Even if I had Patrick Mahomes, I want to win the freaking game.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
And winning matters.
Winning matters.
I know a lot of people are saying it doesn't matter. They're not making the postseason.
Oh, that's BS.
But you know what? At 3-4, they would be in the conversation. And forget 3-4. If they were 4-0 in the Jackson Dart era, as they should be.
They should be.
Then they are certainly in the conversation.
Nobody.
And then there's a whole other conversation, which we'll have later, which is why in the hell did they not have an actual quarterback competition in training camp? Why? Forget Russell Wilson. Forget what you think prescribed to do. The history of football tells you that the best player has to play. Have a real competition. Forget, we got to protect the young kid. You don't need to protect the young kid anymore. These kids come into the NFL ready to play. And if they suck, they suck. You get rid of them in 2 years, or you trade them, or whatever you do with Justin Fields. Right? But the New York Giants don't have that kid. And it was obvious from the second week of training camp. Why did we have to toil with Russell Wilson for 2 weeks? I'm serious. Now that the way that they lost that game made me think about what happened before, and I'm like, now I'm even more pissed. I'm being honest.
Beat Washington with him for week
Start
one.
100%. Tommy, you were dead right. I hate to admit that because I thought you were a ludicrous idiot for suggesting it. But you were so right. I feel bad that I mocked you for so many weeks.
Nah, it's okay, Tiki. It made for entertaining radio. It was
Dude,
good.
I got to get down and bow down to you. You're like my savant god at this point. Because I believe in Jackson Dart. I just also believe that he's a rookie. And sometimes rookies make stupid mistakes at the most inopportune times and cause you to lose games. The one thing I worried about going into this game, and it didn't really show its head until the end, was that the altitude in Mile High Stadium, in Power Field, Mile High Stadium, is rough. It gets you, man. And I think Dexter Lawrence said this after the game in his post-game comments, how you get used to getting them three and out, or maybe they'd run four or five plays, three to five plays, and then you're off the field. Then all of a sudden, the Denver Broncos have some drives.
Yeah, now you're on the field for a while.
And it's like 10 play drives, 11 play drives, and you are gassed. And at the end of the game, there were a couple of plays. One of them both of them were Drew Phillips. When Evan Engram caught that ball on the sideline and he just dodged a tackle and went like an extra 12, 15 yards, it's like, what the hell happened there?
He like deked him almost. Or he gave up on the play.
Drew Phillips turned it down.
Yeah.
Drew Phillips turned. You know what?
I'm Tiki standing up right now. Is he going to grab me? I'm afraid. No, he's walking past me. He's grabbing an L.
Oh, he's grabbing an L.
Three L's. He's holding them. He's sitting back down.
We haven't ever done this, but I'm doing this today because this needs to happen. This is not really, you don't actually physically have to wear this.
Yeah.
But Drew Phillips, you're getting an L today, dude. You're getting an L. You're taking the virtual L because you turned down a hit on Evan Engram. Push him out of bounds. Instead, you two-hand touch. We're not playing powder puff. And then on the 29-yard catch on the desperation drive of the Denver Broncos, after you've miraculously taken the lead back because of a pass interference and an awesome Jackson Dart touchdown, the Denver Broncos have two desperate plays that they have to throw. That's the only way they're getting in field goal range. The only way. They run a two-man with two robbers, and all you got to do is be on your game. Drew Phillips basically was jogging with Mims, basically jogging.
Yeah.
And Bo Nix threw that ball. Mims didn't see it coming until it was in his hands. And Drew Phillips was chilling. And I don't mean like he was tight coverage and it just happened to not make a play. He was chilling. Like, we're out here practicing.
Give him a second LO, you're out of take.
This ball is not coming to my guy.
Yeah.
I am chilling. And he completes it. And that changed immediately the game. You knew it was over at that point, right? You don't know when your moment's going to come. You don't know as a player when you're going to get a chance to be the hero. That's why every play matters. But you know what happens? You get tired. And when you're in Denver altitude, you get really fatigued. You almost can't breathe. Your muscles stop working. Fatigue makes a coward out of even the greatest men. And he turned it down. He turned it off. And it cost the Giants the game. So we're going to start giving L's to our guy, to our teammate, to our teams.
Yeah.
L's for plays that cost you games. This L is on Drew Phillips.
Take the L. Well, I have to apologize to you as well, because late last night, me and my wife were having a conversation, and she said, "What do you think about tomorrow's show?" I said, "It'll be all right, but Tiki used all his energy on Sunday. He'll come in. He'll understand. He'll be like, it happens."
You have no idea. I'm not even joking. I was basically doing meditative breathing exercises before we took the post game because I wanted to scream through the microphone to the Giants in their locker room. Bunch of bitches.
Well, no, that. Do you want to share what you said to me in our group text last night when I was arguing?
Yeah. Yeah, I was projecting it onto you.
Bleep you, dude.
We'll get to your calls next. 888-808-1019.
Tune in apps.
There were many, many things that led to this meltdown. The kicking situation, I just don't understand. I don't know how this franchise continues to really suck at handling their kicking situation, because there are multiple games in which either Graham Gano gets hurt early or Graham Gano's not there or they don't have a kicker. And in last night's case, they're using the international portal to use Jude McAtamney, who can't kick, basically like me.
but it's led to too many losses, and it led to me doing some research last night because he missed two extra points.
Yes.
And that's the headline, and that's not the only thing because it also changes the way you coach when you know you're not going to try a 50-yard field goal. But the two extra points, especially the last one, reeks as one of those really, really important difference makers. So I looked around the league yesterday, and I wanted to see, how did everyone else do kicking extra points? While Jude McAtamney was 1 for 3.
McAtamney. Yes.
Well, guess what?
He's Irish.
I don't have to learn his name because he ain't going to be a giant on Sunday. I can tell you that right now. The rest of the league went a combined 45 for 46 on extra points. Mm. And the giant kicker missed two.
Yeah.
It tells you
all you need to know.
That's all you need to know.
It makes decision making so much more difficult for the head coach who overthinks it going for two when it's up 19-0 and all those different things that subsequently come back to kick you in the ass.
Dude, in this modern NFL where guys are making 58-yard field goals in their sleep, to have multiple games in which you are playing essentially without a kicker is football criminality.
No, of course. And especially for the Giants, who have gotten burned by kickers so many times over their history. You would think, let's make that a priority.
100%.
Let's have a great kicker, especially kicking in the Northeast. Right? Think about why the New England Patriots were so dominant. Right? Tom Brady was great, but they had one of the greatest kickers.
They had two of them.
Well, yeah, true.
They ended up using two guys over 25 years.
But you
years.
Know what I mean? They were two of the greatest kickers in football history.
Well, and to your point, what is the Patriot dynasty without Adam Vinatieri
100%.
And eventually Steven Gostkowski?
They weren't winning by 30 points
in
these Super Bowls or playoff games. They were winning. They were putting themselves in field goal range and not even close field goal range.
I know.
Range
the snow blower game, basically, against the Raiders. Yeah, we think about Tom and we think about the tuck roll. How about kicks in the snow?
100%.
Meanwhile, this guy can't make two extra points. And that last one, look, I'm watching this game. We're all watching the game. We all have different emotions on when we're worried or when we think they're going to lose or however your feelings are. For me, as an IFO, after Jackson Dart, and he, think about this. We've been on the air for 34 minutes. Have we mentioned 4th-and-17? That's a magical play.
100%.
That's a freaking magical play, and it's forgotten in the dustpan of giant history.
Right.
But once they score that touchdown, and my assumption is they're going up 3, because I kind of forgot that this loser place kicker was going to miss another extra point. My thought was, all right, worst case scenario, we get free football, we get overtime. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
New rules, crazy rules. I was starting to think we were going to get a tie.
Yeah.
When he misses the second extra point and leaves the door open for Will Lutz to hit a game winner, I knew the game was over.
Right, you just knew it was going to happen.
Done.
You just knew that was going to be the result.
Done.
As soon as you miss an extra point, then you give life. It's an extra jolt of life.
No doubt.
To a team.
Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. Let's go to Jose in Brentwood. What's up, Jose?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, doing good. I do want to say, before I say my negative thoughts, man, I haven't felt excitement with so many scores that we've been doing. It's awesome that we have new problems. And
Right. Yeah, it's a good. You know what, Jose? That's a great point. That is an absolutely great point, because 2 years ago and last year, it was like, I can't even watch this team. They're not entertaining.
Exactly.
They don't score. I don't care. It's like watching the Jets this year. It was miserable. But this game, I think this year, they're going to be competitive, Jose. You're right. They're going to be in every game. And you just got to find out how to win. Like, creating a way to win. That's the most important thing this team has to figure out how to do.
And I think with that, you know, I think everything counts. And my biggest issue is, what was Dave's doing? He could have called a timeout. When you got a broken Burns coming down the field, you know they're going to spike the ball.
Right.
Call a timeout. So we pretty much gave him 5 yards. You know,
yeah.
It's a game of inches. You know, just that's,
yeah, and,
that's
and,
my point.
And they were at the 40. Appreciate your call, Jose. They were at the about 38, 40, where were they at?
They're at the 48-yard line.
Yeah, the 48-yard line. So, I mean, did it really matter? No, but you needed it anyways.
The problem is, so he's
you're
saying,
not taking the timeout with you.
If you're take, but if you use the timeout, you're actually helping Denver by stopping the clock. They have no timeouts at this point. They're racing down the field. And yes, Brian Burns couldn't lip over, and that's why we had the neutral zone infraction, which made a 5-yard difference.
You know what you do?
But you're stopping the clock if you call a timeout.
You know what you do when you do when that happens?
What?
And it's again, this is an above the X's and O's. This is a high football IQ thing.
Go.
Run to the sideline. They're spiking. You know they're spiking
that's
the ball.
That's true. Just get off the field.
Get off the field.
They don't need you.
They're
on the field.
Spiking the ball.
Yeah.
If you play with 10, who cares?
Right.
So you just people don't a lot of players don't think about that. Like there's a problem and I'm it. How do I solve it?
Yeah.
And the only reason, I mean I had to be aware of this acutely when I was playing because I was the punt returner. And so when you're the punt returner, your job is to count. So you get up there and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you hit 11, you don't go, get off the field. Hey, Bob, get off. You run off the field.
Mm.
The punt returner runs off the field because you can't communicate that.
Right.
And you don't want the penalty because it could be 4th and 2.
Yeah.
And they're punting, and now you give them a first down. So the kick returner runs off the field. So there's like an awareness that really great elite football teams have, and it's everybody. It's every single person, and that gets coached into you. It's why Bill Belichick was so good as a coach. He might have been a jerk as a person, but he was great as a coach because every player knew exactly what they were supposed to do all the time.
Yeah.
And they knew how to solve problems, and that helped them win a lot of close games.
Ari's in West Orange. What's up, Ari?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking the call. So, you know, just a couple of things. There's no reason, I think, to rehash the kicker. It's an absolute absurdity. It's been going on far too long. And, you know, I don't even know if they can solve it at this point. But I guess we'll see. This guy should absolutely be cut as soon as today. You know, and you guys know how I feel about Dable. I've called up, and I don't think this franchise is going anywhere with him as head coach. I just think it's just too many losing. It's too many years of this. But, look, I'm willing to do the benefit of doubt and play out the season, see how it goes with him. But what I'm not doing, guys, is I am not living anymore with Shane Bowen as defensive coordinator. I'm sorry. This guy came from Tennessee. He did nothing with Tennessee defense, guys. Last year, they gave up the worst yardage in the league. They were last in turnovers. This year, you had the Dallas debacle.
All right. But, Tiki, you answer this. They shut them out for the first three quarters.
Right.
Now, and we all know about the meltdown. How much of this is on Shane Bowen?
Well, with that being said,
yes,
the Denver Broncos offense is bad. So the Giants' defense did exactly what they're supposed to do against a bad offense. You make them look like crap. You frustrate the hell out of them. You put pressure on them, and you make Sean Payton look like he doesn't know what he's doing until the end of the game.
Right.
And so that last play, and we just talked about it, the Drew Phillips where he gave up the 29-yard play to Mims, Denzel Mims. Marvin Mims. Denzel Mims was.
No, I know.
Sorry,
you don't have to bring it up.
Sorry, Marvin Mims. it was the right call. So I know that the Giants defenders, Brian Burns in particular, were asked about and are talking about rushing three and why that was the worst. It was the bad call because of what they had been doing and getting after the quarterback and frustrating him. Instead, he had all the.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Time in the world. Bo Nix was only throwing a prayer. That's all he was doing. He was throwing a prayer. That's the only way they were going to get in field goal range. And he was hoping probably for a pass interference.
Right.
And so the right defense to run there is exactly what they did. Man coverage with two robbers. Two guys who just sit in the middle of the field and take any of these in-breaking routes that may be you know, coming across the field. The reason it didn't work and the Giants gave up that ridiculous 29-yard completion was not because of the play call. It was because of the execution. And Drew Phillips had man coverage on Marvin Mims. And Marvin Mims is running what he thinks is a clear-out route because they had a clear-out route and a dig coming. So it's like a sail, clear, and then you have an in-breaking route coming underneath it. The in-breaking route is the one that's likely going to be open. And Marvin Mims is just clearing everybody out so that there's space for this dig coming underneath him. But Bo Nix throws the seam, and Drew Phillips isn't covering it because Marvin Mims is just chilling. He's just jogging.
Yeah.
He jogged off the line of scrimmage.
And the only answer for him jogging off the line of scrimmage has to be that he was gassed. He's not giving effort when the game's on the line. It wouldn't even make any sense.
I'm talking about Marvin Mims is jogging.
But wasn't Drew Phillips also kind of like loafing on that play?
He was mirroring what Marvin Mims was doing.
Gotcha.
And so because Marvin Mims is chilling, just kind of like, all right, whatever, I'm just clearing out here. He turns his head at the last moment. The ball hit him in the chest.
Right.
If you go rewatch that play, which I've done multiple times, Marvin Mims did not expect that ball to come to him. It hit him in the chest. And Drew Phillips is not ready for it, and it's why it was like this surprise completion down the middle of the field that set them up at the 48-yard line. Then you get the penalty, and then they have the jump ball down the left sideline and man coverage. Tay Banks had no chance of defending against Courtland Sutton, and ultimately the game's over. Like, just like that, game's over. Three plays, game's over. And it just, to me, that's not on Shane Bowen. That's on the execution from a player standpoint.
So it wasn't the play calling on those final few plays. It was lack of execution by the guys on the field. And,
right. And look, this is different than Dallas. So what people will, what they'll do when they talk about the Dallas thing, and they'll say, well, he played a big zone. Yeah, he played a humongous zone against Dallas. The second level was 15 yards deep, right? The third level was like 25 yards deep. They played man. Like everybody against Denver was man covered. When you play man, you shut your guy down. You're aware the ball's coming to my guy. When it's man coverage, your mindset has to be the ball's coming to my guy. The ball's coming to my guy. The ball's coming to my guy. Drew Phillips is like, the ball's not coming to my guy until it did. And they gave up a 29-yard play, and it changed the game.
There was another, you know, because you gave Drew Phillips an L during our open. There was another underrated moment. 4th and 2 on the drive in which Denver made it a 10-point game, they were off the field, pass interference on Drew Phillips.
Yep.
That extended that drive.
Yep.
And so you find all these little things, if they go differently, the outcome is different. If Drew Phillips doesn't get handsy, isn't called for a PI, and they're off the field, the Giants win the game.
And that throw was, he wasn't catching that
ball.
It
was nowhere close.
It wasn't even close to him. It sailed over his head by 5 feet.
Let's go to Mike on Long Beach Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up?
There's just one phrase that drives me crazy that I want to reverse. Everybody says, you know, Brian Daboll made Josh Allen. If you change that to Josh Allen made Brian Daboll, everything else makes sense. Daniel Jones got better. Saquon got better. Even Josh Allen won an MVP when he left. You know, the Giants have their quarterback. Now they just got to get their coach.
Who's talking about Josh Allen?
Nobody!
I don't care about Josh Allen.
Like,
here's the thing, and here's the reality.
Yes.
Jackson Dart is getting better every week as a quarterback. And whether or not you want to give Dave credit for that, I know that Dave was personally involved in his development early in training camp and throughout, and probably still is to a capacity. I know there's slander about his previous resume. Shut up. It doesn't matter.
Can I frame this, I think, in a better way, and you tell me if I'm still wrong? Josh Allen is irrelevant. Daniel Jones is irrelevant.
Right.
None of that matters. So here's how I'll frame this about Brian Daboll, Jackson Dart, and his future as head coach. Jackson Dart looks like the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
There is no denying that. I can't hate. I wish I had him. He looks like the real deal. And of course,
and who are you giving credit for that?
I give Brian Daboll credit.
Thank you.
But there's a giant caveat. And I remember saying this at the beginning of the year, and I'll say it again now. They have to win games.
100%.
They have to win games. Pat Shurmur looked like he was developing Daniel Jones. But you know what we all knew and we were right about? He ain't the guy.
Yeah.
And so they got rid of him. So we have ourselves 10 weeks. And there are already very strong opinions formed about Brian Daboll. I've given mine. I wouldn't have brought him back this year. That's my opinion. I know Tommy, not a fan. That's his opinion. Sean, maybe a little more partial to him. That's his opinion. None of it matters. There's 10 weeks of data. 10 weeks where it's not just developing the quarterback. That's nice. You have to win. What happened yesterday is major data points to his ass not coming back. You want to know why? Because you got to win.
Yes.
And there were coaching miscues that contributed, not the end all be all. You mentioned some of the player mistakes. But if you continue to lose games, and some of them occur in epic fashion, I don't care how much you're developing the quarterback.
Right.
That'll be on your resume, and it'll be cute for the next team that hires you. You need to win games. So tell me if that's the right way to look at it without ever mentioning the name Daniel Jones or Josh Allen.
Of course. I mean, that's the only thing that
that's
matters.
It!
And look, I love Daniel Jones, one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league, one of my favorite people. Met him when he was still a senior at Duke. He came out or before his pre-senior year. Great dude. Wish him nothing but success. But people who are talking about Daniel Jones turning into a top five quarterback in the league aren't watching Daniel Jones play football. They're just looking at his statistics and saying, man, he's having a great season. Throws for 288 yards and two touchdowns, and he's running, what, five or six touchdowns on the season. They also have an unbelievably good offensive line. They have a good play caller who puts Daniel Jones in positions to throw dump downs to tight ends and to running backs who then take it 70 yards, 60, 70 yards. It's like, yes, he's having a good season, but it has nothing to do.
Well, I do have to add one thing. You know who's got a pretty good offensive line? The New York Giants.
Now they do.
I mean, Andrew Thomas
now
is
they
like
do.
A beast.
Absolutely they do. And you're seeing the success of Jackson Dart because of it.
1,000%.
And so if you're going to talk out of one side of your mouth that Daniel Jones is having a good resurrected career with the Indianapolis Colts and it's because of their offensive line, give credit to the Giants for doing the same thing and protecting a young Jackson Dart.
If you are a Giant fan who is leaning towards firing Brian Daboll at the end of the year, I'll make the argument for you.
Your data point is not Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley. It's actually you sound like an idiot when you say those things because it doesn't matter.
Here's what matters.
It's not how he's going to be evaluated.
I agree, and he shouldn't be. Here's what matters. Very simple. 2-5. That's it. 2-5.
Yes.
And two of those losses in the Jackson Dart era, the New Orleans Saints and this one, are inexcusable.
Denver Broncos, right.
What did I say?
You said New Orleans Saints.
Sean Payton is screwing with my head. Well, no, you did lose to the Saints. The Saints and the Broncos.
Right.
Who did I say? Saints and the Saints?
No, you just
Saints
said Saints and
this one. You couldn't find the Bronco name.
Right.
Dude, every time I look at Sean Payton, I think of the New Orleans Saints. I can't get past it, even though it's been like half a decade.
I've known Sean for a really long time.
Yeah.
And he thinks in different ways. And as I was watching that game plan, I'm like, what in the hell is going on with this offense? Like, he's not even trying.
Hmm.
And I felt that from last week with the Jets game.
But that made more strategic sense with
because
the Jets.
Because the Jets weren't going to score.
They didn't need to.
The Jets cannot score.
Yeah, look at Carolina yesterday.
Right. So I get why he was just, hey, we're going to conserve, run the ball, and then punt. And in this game yesterday, I'm like, why is he so conservative? Like, why is he just not urgent? And I'm not saying he did this, but as I think about it, like replay it and the circumstances and how the urgency ticked up in the fourth quarter and the thing that I thought was going to be a problem for the Giants, which wasn't until the end, I wonder if he said the fatigue's going to get to him.
No. Rope-a-dope.
Seriously.
Rope-a-dope.
Eventually, we just got to keep it close because the fatigue is going to get to him. Like, they play in Mile High every day, every other week. 8 games they play a year in Mile High. I almost feel like it was intentional.
Well, I'll tell you, not that he could have predicted
by the way,
it.
This happens.
Yeah, no, we saw it. We've seen it before.
They've lost two games
yeah.
against two of the best teams in the AFC. At Los Angeles Chargers, at the Indianapolis Colts. The other five games, they've won.
Right.
And how do they win? Fourth quarter comebacks.
Well, one thing that helped them that he couldn't have seen coming, and this is just a part of football, so we can't even use it as an excuse, right. but it certainly affected the Giants, was Paulson Adebo and Javon Holland getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That was a killer because it exposed right. the lack of depth that they have. It exposed and reminded you that Devontae Banks is a bust
right.
and probably shouldn't have an NFL uniform right now, but that certainly contributed as well.
I know you just said you don't want to bring up other teams around the league, but I think the perfect example of a team of why you fire Brian Daboll is the Pats. McDaniel's in, Vrabel in. Look at where Drake May and that team is at right now. They had the quarterback last year, but now they have the coaches. So yeah. to me, that's the perfect example of a team that had the young quarterback, but look at how much of a difference the coaching has made on
right. him. Right. No, it has, because that moment that we led the show with on 3rd and 5, Mike Vrabel runs the ball.
Yes.
He's not trying to prove anything. He's not trying to make his quarterback a hero. He's trying to win the damn game. And the winning play is to run the ball, get Denver to use their third timeout, and punt it to them. A punt is just as good as a first down when you have a 2-possession lead. And so that's what good coaches do.
Even if the quarterback was Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, the right football move is yes. to run the ball on 3rd and 5.
Yes.
I don't give a rat's ass if it's, you know, Tom Brady in his prime.
Right.
Like, you have to your point. Like, I'm just taking your point and going to the more extreme level. Like, there's no way you throw in that situation.
No, because obviously, the only thing you can't do is have a turnover.
Yes.
That's the only thing. And I've said this multiple times. You've heard it a million times, I'm sure, if you listen to football commentary. When you throw the ball, 3/4 of the results are bad.
Well, we'll hear from Brian Daboll when we come back. He was asked specifically to address this criticism of that decision on 3rd and 5 because for whatever reason, he wasn't asked yesterday.
I know.
So we will hear the answer
they
from
that. It happened after all the other crap that happened after.
I guess it happens. A lot of stuff.
It was.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.